Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Let me get to my guest right now. Rafael Mangual is joining us. He's the fellow and deputy director of legal policy and contributing editor for the City Journal and also with the Manhattan Institute. Rafael, good morning to you.
Good morning to you. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, well, thank you for giving us some time this morning. You know, I've been a longtime fan of Heather McDonald, who I know that you work with. And, yeah. You know, I read her book, The War on Cops. And what we've got going on in this country is a narrative about our police that is simply wrong. And I love the article that you've written about this in the City Journal.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, no, it's really, truly unfortunate because policing is one of those just incredibly crucial institutions for any functioning society. And we've done the men and women who put badges and uniforms on every day to serve their communities really in a bind because we've allowed this really just truly toxic narrative to fester. And I fear what that means for our society if we don't correct course.
Well, it's true. And, you know, part of that narrative is that it's worse now than ever. But when you look at the statistics, because the FBI, these numbers have been tracked for years. That's simply not the case.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, one of the most sort of pernicious lies about policing in America is that it is incredibly violent at an institutional level, when in fact, we know that the data show that police violence is extremely rare, right? I mean, you know, one of the numbers that gets a lot of attention is the number of people who are fatally shot and killed by the police, right? In 2014, the Washington Post, you know, started keeping a database of fatal police shootings because this was such a big problem that they wanted to lay out. And it turns out that, you know, police actually don't use deadly force all that often. And we have numbers on this, right? So, for example, in the United States in 2018, police discharged their firearms an estimated 3,042 times. This sounds like a lot, right? 992 people died that year from police bullets. But when you consider that in the context of almost 700,000 officers making more than 10 million arrests and having more than 50 million public contacts, we see that at most, deadly force arises in just 0.003% of all arrests. At most in a given year, assuming that every discharge is from a separate officer, that only 0.4% of police officers will purposefully use deadly force with a firearm in a given year. These are not numbers that evidence an institutional violence problem. These are not numbers that evidence an institution out of control. And the case doesn't get any stronger when we look at non-deadly force, right? We know from studies that police use force in less than 1% of all arrests. Again, you know, when we contextualize the videos that we see and the stories that we hear about in light of the broader data set, on all police conduct, I think it becomes very, very difficult to draw some of the conclusions that the Black Lives Matter movement has drawn and is pushing on the rest of America.
Rafael Manguel, my guest from, of course, the Manhattan Institute and the contributing editor there at City Journal. If you look at the numbers just in New York, Rafael, and you point these out, and I got a couple minutes left here. In 1971, the New York City Police discharged their firearms 810 times. And by 2016, that number was down to 72. I mean,
that's exactly right.
And you have to assume that most of those 72 times, there was probably somebody shooting back at them.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, if you look at, for example, the Washington Post database and you filter out, you know, cases for weapons, right, you see that the number of unarmed Americans killed by police gunfire is very small. In fact, when police do use deadly force with a firearm, almost all of the time they are pushing back against a suspect who is violently resisting and armed at the time. And I'd also like to note, too, for your listeners, that the mere fact that someone is unarmed in a violent conflict with the police does not mean that that person is incapable of posing a deadly threat. I have personal experience with this. My father was an NYPD detective for many years, and two of his ex-partners on September 11, 2004, lost their lives to an unarmed Black man who was able to wrestle a firearm from the waist of a detective named Bobby Parker, and he killed both Bobby Parker and another detective named Patrick Rafferty. You know, the reality is that some suspects do, for example, go for an officer's gun. Some suspects do use their hands. Exactly. Use their hands.
Yeah, Michael Brown.
That's exactly right. What really bothers me, and one of the reasons I was inspired to write that article, is that when you look at those numbers you just cited out of New York, it shows an incredible amount of progress towards less force, an incredible amount of professionalism, and none of that was reflected in any of the protests. The tone and the rhetoric is no different than as if the numbers had not changed.
Because it defeats the narrative if you accept that. Rafael Manguel, listen, I'm out of time. I'm going to direct people. We'll put up a link to your article on our webpage, 971talk.com, so people can read it for themselves. Thanks so much for your time and your research on this.
Thank you, and you have a great day.
Get more at 971talk.com.